Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. In 1948, Connecticut sculptor Korchak Joukowsky began cutting away Thunderhead Mountain between Custer and Hill City to create a monument honoring Crazy Horse. He died in 1982, but since then, under the leadership of his widow Ruth Joukowsky, his children and now grandchildren, they've continued the drilling, bulldozing, and blasting on the mountain sculpture with no end in sight. Since the dedication of the face of Crazy Horse in 1998, the work has focused on blocking out the horse's head. The Crazy Horse Memorial celebrates its 65th anniversary with a night blast tomorrow, which also honors Ruth Joukowsky's 87th birthday and marks the 137th anniversary of the Battle of Little Bighorn. Ruth Joukowsky serves as Crazy Horse Memorial President and Chief Executive. She joins us on the line. Mrs. Joukowsky, welcome to Dakota Midday and happy birthday.
Thank you very much. It's nice to have birthdays.
Well, the night blast must be a rather spectacular way to celebrate your birthday.
Well, it certainly is. It started out very humbly a lot of years ago. Our daughter Anne was the one who concocted it as a surprise for me. And it certainly was, and it has grown to the point now that it's one of the larger festivities that we have here at Crazy Horse, and it's a fun evening for everybody. It's kind of like a tailgate party out in the parking lot, and people come from all over South Dakota, as well as travelers who are in the area, and celebrate my birthday and the Battle of the Little Bighorn. And while they're here and waiting for it to get dark, they go through the studio and the museums and learn a lot while they're here.
Well, as I mentioned, this is the 65th anniversary of the start of work on the Crazy Horse Memorial by your late husband, Korchak Joukowsky. Did he know what he was getting into when he started that work?
I don't think he did. He thoroughly figured in just a normal lifetime he'd be able to do it. But he got his first clue when he went up there and hand-drilled the holes for the first blast on the mountain on the 3rd of June in 48. And the amazing thing to me is that he had the courage to even start. And it was difficult to do, but just to have the courage to go up there and drill that first hole took an amazing person.
Did you know what you were getting into when you married him?
I had known him since I was 13, and let's see, I was 24 or 25 when we were married, so I had known him for a long while and loved it out here and enjoyed my work. In fact, I don't have a job. I have a life with a purpose, and I just feel so fortunate because I love Monday morning just as well as most people like Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to what work was like on Crazy Horse in the early days back in the 1950s. Was Korchak working mostly alone?
Primarily alone, because he had to raise the money to work up there and have the equipment, and it was just hard sledding, but they were good years. He never looked at it as if it were a trial or a tribulation. He said it was as close to pioneering as he could get, and he loved it here. And he loved the purpose behind it. He wanted to carve the mountain in order to give back pride to the Indian people, and not just the Lakota from around here, but as a memorial to the Indians of North America. And he knew from watching Rushmore, when it was finished, how many visitors there would be and the money that would be made. And he said, I want the Indian people to benefit from this. And that's why he wanted a museum, a medical training center, and a university for Indians from over the entire country. And the museum came first in 1973 because so many people, Indian and non-Indian, were generous and gave us artifacts and art that needed to be kept and shared with others. And then the Indian University, we have our fourth group of students this summer. We're working with USD as a partnership, and we have had 60-some graduates so far, and this year we have 32 students from 13 tribes and 8 different states, as far away as Virginia.
What does it mean to you and your family to be able to continue Korchak Joukowsky's vision that he had all those years ago?
I think every one of the youngsters that are here, that is here, and I know I feel just absolutely fortunate to get up every morning to know that you've got something to do that's worthwhile, that you love doing, and that it's helping other people, and that it's going to go on into the future and do nothing but grow and make the world a better place.
The actual work on Crazy Horse, has that become easier in recent years? I'm thinking maybe changes in technology, or is it still the same challenge that it's always been from the beginning?
Oh, I think that there's no question the technology and the explosives themselves have all improved and made things better from a point of view of the actual work itself. It's been a challenge working to... We've always worried about the safety of the people on the mountain and worked to see to it that there aren't accidents. But the past 2 years, we have worked on keeping the mountain safe so that as we carve and go into the future, the rock is going to stay there and not crack or split off or things like that. And that has been a challenge, but I think we've addressed it, and the geologists say it's a good block of rock to carve. There are places where we'll have to put in some bolts, but that's not unexpected, and we're all set. We're down now. You figure the horse's head is 219 feet high, and we have come down in 20-foot increments and are now down on the last bench underneath the horse's nose, and we're within 20 feet of the finished product, that entire 219-foot height. So we've come a long way. And the problem is when we carved and outlined the horse's head against the sky, you could readily see it. There was no question about it. But carving into the side of the mountain, you don't have the depth perception from here, so it's harder for people to see the progress.
How many people are working on the actual sculpture, the drilling and the blasting?
The drilling and the blasting, we have six.
And you big family with children, grandchildren, I think even great great grandchildren. How many of them are active in the work?
Well, let's see. Of the youngsters themselves, there's Dawn, Adam, Jadwiga, Casimir, Monique, and we have three that aren't involved, but they live in Custer. And then the grandchildren have worked here. We've had two grandsons work on the mountain in the past years, and we have young grandchildren working in the restaurant and the gift shop most every summer.
For you and your late husband, what was it like to raise a family in this environment?
It's a wonderful environment. It really is. It's in the country, but you can walk out the front door at Crazy Horse and meet everybody. There are thousands of people every day. You can walk out the back door, and you don't see a human being, and you've got the deer and all of the wildlife, and it's just like living as the pioneers did, so that they have the best of both worlds than they did growing up. They went to country school right here on our property to start with, the first five of them. Then they moved to country school over across the highway, and after that they went into Custer, and I think they have had the best of everything. Our youngsters, only one graduated from college, but we have a number of grandchildren who have.
Now, for you, after you took over the leadership when your husband passed away, I imagine it must take a lot of toughness and perseverance on your part to keep everything going.
Well, it was scary, I can tell you that. Uh-huh. I mean, to think of all the different aspects of it, the mountain itself, the visitors, the goals behind it with the education and the museum, it's a big undertaking. It really is, but it was something that I'd lived with. It was a part of my life, and I wouldn't have known what else to do. I wouldn't know what else to do tomorrow if I weren't here. So that it's a way of life. It's not a job.
But I think that for you and everyone involved, there must also be an inexhaustible supply of patience, because this is slow going over 65 years.
It is slow. There's no question about it, and we certainly appreciate the patience of the people who are helping us finance it and fund it and who believe in it. But you see the growth, too, and it's if you just understand to start with how big it is and what the ultimate goals are, it's worth every bit of it. But it does take patience. And people would say to Korchak, don't you get impatient? And he'd say, no. And he'd say, I just want to be able to get it done. And he said, you can't be impatient and get it done. You have to stick with it. He believed you could do anything in this world you want to do, no matter what it is, if you just stayed with it, didn't quit, and it was worth doing.
Well, Mrs.
Nothing's impossible.
Mrs. Jilkowski, we talked about the night blast that happens tomorrow night. Is that a series of blasts or one big blast?
It's a series of blasts, and it's all pyrotechnic, so that one year they wrote out a great big 5-0 after they had outlined the figure. They did the horse's head one year, and it's always different. They go between the fellows up on the mountain, and each one gets a chance to design it, so you never know what it's going to be. So but it's always a series of pyrotechnic explosions on the mountain.
So if you were there last year or the year before, this is something different.
It's the same type of thing, but it's a different design and a different cadence.
Now, this summer, you're marking the 65th anniversary. I understand that there's some special summer lecture series going on?
We have a summer lecture series. It's not new. We've had it for a number of years now, and every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock, we have a different artist or storyteller who performs and tells their stories and entertains and educates at the same time the visitors who are here. We have Native American dancers every day around the noon hour who are here and do two or three performances, and we're trying to add more and more about the Indian culture and history so that our visitors will come in and will gain an education as to what life is like for the Indian people.
Now, this is the night blast, the connection with little Bighorn. That's always been important as a part of the night blast and the work at the Crazy Horse Memorial as a whole.
It certainly has. It seemed to me that it was just a little bit too much to have a blast just for my birthday. There should be something connected with it that had something to do with the Crazy Horse Project. Just as we only have two night blasts a year, and the second one is September 6th, which is Korchak's birth date, and it's also the date that Crazy Horse died, so that there's a connection there very definitely.
What do you think Korchak would think if he saw the progress of the memorial today and how much has been accomplished?
You know, that's a hard question to answer, and I wonder about it, and I guess it depends on how I feel for the moment. I think perhaps some days he'd be pleased with it, and some days he'd say, you know, if you'd done this differently, you'd be further ahead. But one thing he did before he passed away, he said, I can't carve Crazy Horse from the grave. You're going to have to make your own decisions and do it right. And the only things that were set in stone, so to speak, was the fact that there would be no federal or state money, and we would not have any billboards.
Well, Mrs. Jilkowski, I want to thank you so much for joining us on Dakota Midday, and again, have a happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed visiting with you, Kurt, and I hope that you'll come and visit this summer.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That's Ruth Jilkowski. She's the Crazy Horse Memorial President and Chief Executive, and there is a special night blast at the Crazy Horse Memorial between Custer and Hill City tomorrow. It's open to the public and honors Ruth Jilkowski's 87th birthday and commemorates the 137th anniversary of the Battle of Little Bighorn. And this year marks the 65th anniversary of the memorial, begun in June of 1948 by the late Korchak Jilkowski. And that's it for this edition of Dakota Midday. Thanks to all of our guests on today's show, Sean Murphy, Heather Wilson, and Ruth Jilkowski. Stephen Zwembke produces Dakota Midday. We had assistance from Nathan Poole. Special thanks to Charles Michael Ray for his help from our studios at the Dahl Art Center in Rapid City. Coming up tomorrow, we'll discuss the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies scheduled to join us, Jonathan Ellis of the Sioux Falls Argus Leader, and Denise Ross of the Mitchell Daily Republic. That's tomorrow at noon central, 11 Mountain on SDPB Radio. I'm Carl Gerke. Stay tuned. Talk of the Nation from NPR is coming up next.